Well, welcome everybody. Another fantastic episode of Playing with Perspective, the Suspended Animation Podcast. I'm your host, Darren Saul, and I am in the studio with the lovely Helen Gerasimo. How are you, Helen?
Good morning. I'm great.
Fantastic. Really good. And now, Helen, I can't wait to get into this topic. And what are we going to be chatting about today? From beauty to brawn, the growth of the beauty industry. So for everybody out there,
absolutely.
For everybody out there, Helen is a health and beauty entrepreneur and mentor. She has almost 40 years experience in the industry and runs the very successful award-winning Heavenly Retreat Skin Correction Clinic in San Suzy, south of Sydney. She has mentored and trained thousands of people over the years to lead successful careers in the industry. She's the author of Red Carpet Experience with a focus on customer service. So what a fascinating topic for today, how the beauty industry has evolved into what it is today. So Helen, welcome.
Thank you. Really excited to be here today.
Thank you. Thank you for joining me. So tell us a bit about you that I haven't already covered.
About me, 40 years in the amazing industry, totally in love with it, married mum, I'm a married woman, have two grown children, lots of little animals, and work full time, I've studied, I've written a book, I've got a script that I'm reading over now and going to be directing a play. So there's lots of amazing things that I do with my life. Yeah. Wow.
So are you an actor, singer, dancer, a bit of everything?
Singer. I'm in a duo and I have done acting as well. So now I'm on a different side of it now where I'm actually editing a script, which is a true story, and next year the play will be out for public.
Oh, fantastic! I look forward to it. Can you tell us a bit about what the play's about?
Absolutely, it's a lady's mother's memoirs during the Holocaust and how she actually kept herself, her family safe, and we ended up in not a concentration camp, but she ended up being taken away from the SS soldiers. Mm-hmm. And she was one of the few that actually got out, because back then they never got out.
That's right.
Yeah, so it's an amazing journey.
Wow, that'll be a very, very interesting play. I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And now, obviously, you've been in the beauty industry for almost 40 years. So, my God, you've seen it all.
I sure have.
You have seen it all. Wow. And all the different trends and Hollywood and the influence of that on the beauty industry, and you know, now what's happening in the beauty industry, but we'll get into that a bit later on. But I kind of just wanted to maybe recap a little bit and draw, you know, take you back and take you on a journey, and maybe give us a sense of how has the beauty industry changed over the last 40 years, and what were some of the milestones that really stood out for you?
Sure. So back in the 80s, it was quite prominent that women were the ones that would venture into a beauty salon. Unfortunately, the gentlemen really didn't have any interest to go into the salons. Yep. So back then it was the women would come once a month to have their facials done. There was no idea, there was no such thing as waxing eyebrows. It was all precision plucking.
Wow.
They would get their manicures done once a week, their pedicures done once a month. And a lot of the products that we actually use were botanical based, which they still are now, but they were there. They didn't have any highly active ingredients. So it was there mainly to hydrate and nourish the skin. But the biggest thing was, is that the ladies would come there for the social connection. Yeah. So, and their own self-care, if you could say. They would go to the hairdressers once a week and get the hair set.
Yeah.
So it was in their regular beauty regime to have that done.
Gotcha.
As the time moved on, things started to evolve. So regulations started to kick in. Education played a very big role in it. Machinery started to come in. Wow. And here we are 40 years later. And it's gone from just doing a diploma education. We actually have degrees behind us. I am one that has a degree behind me.
Wow.
So, and we've needed to do that because with social media, they want more, they do a lot more research, they see what the Hollywood starlets are doing, whether it's good or bad, I don't always agree with what they do.
That's right.
And the machinery that we use, some of them are medical grade, and we do have an affiliation with medical staff. I actually have a doctor on board with us as well to do the cosmetic injections. So, so yeah, it has really gone from one end to the other. So, but it's been amazing.
What a journey. And so what exactly do you have to study in terms of a degree to practice these days?
So while I've done a applied health science degree in clinical aesthetics.
Wow.
So what that actually does, it goes a lot deeper into prescribing the right kind of skincare. It looks at the diseases and the health of the skin. So yep. I spend quite a lot of time analyzing the skin and diagnosing what is actually going on with the skin so I can give the clients much better results. So yep. Gone are the days where you just say, yeah, here's a cleanser, here's a moisturizer and so forth. We try to re-educate our clients to be able to say you're not a skin type.
Yep.
Because when you're born, you don't look at a baby and say, oh, yeah, you're an oily skin and you're a dry skin and you're a reactive skin. It's what we do to our skin that gives us that outcome. So here to educate our clients.
Okay, that's actually a really good point. I mean, so it's very subjective and it depends on the skin and the person. But where does style fit into that? I mean, sometimes if there's fashion or style and some people want to use a particular product, it might not actually be compatible with it.
101%. So where the stylizing comes in, as I said, initially when back in the 80s, there were particular brands on the market that were quite popular, very good marketing behind them. And they had all the beautiful smells and the feel, the touch, and it was there to maintain and hydrate the skin. Nowadays, moving forward, the community or the public is much more informed. So they're more concerned about chemicals that are in the products. Yep. They're much more concerned about results. And look, unfortunately, people want results yesterday. But just because you want results yesterday doesn't necessarily mean that that's the right thing for you.
That's right.
So there's a lot of testing that we need to do. We pre-test things and we make sure it comes down to the consultation to make sure that there are no allergies. And unfortunately, in today's lifestyle, I'm seeing a lot more people with reactions. I'm seeing a lot more people on medication. So I have to be very careful, not just to say, oh yeah, you've got this condition. I need to see exactly what they're taking, how they're living, if they're sleeping, and all of that other things. It's got to come down to the health first.
Wow. So it's a much more holistic practice these days. It's not about going to the shelf, taking the product that, you know, everybody's pushing on Hollywood or in the magazines and off you go.
101%. And look, by the time I get people come in to me, especially if they've got a skin condition, you know, they come in with the crossed arms and the frowns on their face and go, well, what are you going to sell me now? Because I've tried everything.
Tried everything else, yeah.
Yeah, but you haven't come to me.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. I love it. And you practice just out of your clinic in San Susie, or do you have a few different clinics?
No, I just have that one. But I do get people coming to me from all around Sydney. I get people traveling from Frenchs Forest, Wollongong. I get them coming from all over. So a lot of my work does come through word of mouth, especially with the kind of treatments that I do, because like I specialize in acneic skins, and it's not just for children. I get adult acne as well.
Yeah, sure.
But I also look after a lot of cancer patients because I've got Cogra Hospital just around the corner from me as well.
Wow, yeah, fantastic.
Yeah.
And now over the years, obviously, as you mentioned, you alluded to, technology has really changed and become part of what we do. But how do you think technology has affected behavior and the opinion and the, you know, what people want out of the beauty industry in terms of our needs and our behavior more than the actual solutions?
Yeah, look, as I said, social media plays a big part, and also now that you're getting a lot of not necessarily Hollywood influencers, but you get influencers out there that, look, they are paid. They're paid, you know, to put their face on a brand.
It
doesn't necessarily mean that what they're peddling is going to be right for people. The first thing is that an advanced piece of machinery in the wrong hands could be quite dangerous. Yep. And it's quite easy to get your hands on a piece of machinery because there's no regulations. That's the biggest thing that we're all fighting about now. And so I often get people going, oh, but, you know, I heard about this, or I've seen that on Facebook, yeah, or I've
read this in a magazine.
I've read that in a magazine, or, you know, this chick that is the latest and greatest influencer is doing that, and I want that as well. Yeah. But it's not only machinery, it's also what they're using for these high-grade things that they're using on their skin. And I will flatly say no. Right. If I don't, and I give them the reason why, but there are a lot. There's lasers, there's things that firm the skin, that lift the skin, they poke the skin, they burn the skin, they do all sorts of stuff.
do you do Botox and all that kind of stuff as well?
We do have our doctor that comes on, and he does all the cosmetic injections. But like, I have a doctor, I don't have just anybody. And I've had a lot of doctors come into the clinic wanting to work with me, but you know, it's my reputation, and it's also the safety of our patients and our clients. That, man, he's amazing. He's been with me for a number of years.
So it's really more about the, you know, technology and social media has driven and affected us from an influencer point of view and driven the behavior, whereas it might not always, as we mentioned before, be compatible. So people have to think that, you know, just because someone else has something and it looks really good or it works really well, doesn't mean it's right for them.
100%. Look, I've had people that have had high level of machinery done on their face. Mm. And by the time they've gotten to me, I've noticed that the collagen in their skin has actually collapsed. Oh. So we have to rebuild that because it can damage. So you have to be extremely careful with, you know, who's doing it and what you're doing to your skin. Like you said, it may suit one person, it may not suit another.
Yeah.
There are different ways without invasive interaction.
Yeah. What's your take on, you know, my view is always less is more. What's your take on things like that?
Look, in my clinic, I don't have a lot of machinery. I have electrolysis machine, which back in the 80s is something that I used to do for permanent hair reduction. That was so advanced. And even to this day, it's still far more advanced, especially when treating hairs on the face because they're hormonally driven. Yep. I have an LED light, which is amazing. I have a couple of other microneedling machinery in there. But I will not do any machinery work on my clients until their skin is prepared and strong enough to be able to do that. It's a bit like you saying to me, you know, Helen, I want to run in the Olympics. Yeah. I'm not going to get you to run on the track. I'm going to get you into training.
That's right. Yeah, you got to work your way up to it. Yeah.
Correct. I want you to be successful with your outcome and your results, not set you up for failure.
Okay. And so what percentage of men come to you?
Oh, I actually have a really lovely level of men. I probably have about 30%. I'd love to have a lot more. My sons, I've got two sons, 20 and 21 and 23, and I've cared for their skin from day dot, and they've never had bad skin. Their skin is flawless, so the girlfriends are all jealous, which is amazing. But yeah, we get a lot of mums bringing their sons in, and wives and girlfriends bringing their partners and husbands in.
So if I come in within a week or so, you can get me looking like George Clooney?
100%. But I think I'll make you look better than George Clooney.
Oh, there you go. I'm going to hold you to that. I'm coming
absolutely.
To
absolutely.
So Helen, what's kept you so passionate about the industry? Because obviously you're extremely passionate about it.
You haven't been
drained, and people haven't driven you crazy, and you haven't been desensitized from all this?
Not at all. I truly am very, very much in love with it. So this COVID shutdown for 10 weeks for me absolutely killed me. Yeah. But I still had close contact with my clients and even delivering their products to their door and waving at them hi, you know, from the distance. But no, what's kept me excited is the results that I can do and just the change in people's lives. And I think a lot of people don't realize that even the name beautician, we're not beauticians. Back in the 80s, that was what we were, but we're skin therapists, but we're counselors, we're everything. I can't even begin to tell you the amount of people that have come in that have cried because they've lost a a child, you know, miscarried or a relationship has broken down. So we are counsellors, and it's just that beautiful connection that I have with people that really keeps me so happy to be able to make a difference in their lives as well. And they make a difference in mine as well.
Yeah. And you know, that's a really good point I want to touch on. You know, that's, it gives us a really good opportunity to go a bit deeper here. You know, beauty is really an expression of one's inner thoughts, feelings, confidence. So, I mean, obviously people come to you because they want to be able to express that and they want to feel better about themselves. And, you know, it goes much deeper than just skincare or whatever else. It's also beauty and style and, you know, how they project themselves and their image, self-image to the world. So, I mean, what's your take on all that?
Oh, look, 100%. Look, they say beauty from within, but look, these days we've got very stressful lives and, you know, as I can only speak as a female, we juggle a lot of things, and there's got to be a time when we can put our oxygen mask on and have another person nurture us so we could be better caregivers to our families. So when it comes to the clients coming into us, it is about connection. And it was very much highlighted these 10 weeks that we didn't have that physical connection. Yep. And we as humans, we love that touch. We need it. So definitely. Why they called us a non-essential worker, seriously, I'm going to have to do something about that.
Yeah, I would agree. Because people want to, people need, even in this time, you know, people get on Zoom and whatever, and they present themselves to the world. They still want to look good. They still want to feel good because they look good. So it's still just as important, even digitally, to, you know, take care of yourself than if you're in person as well.
Absolutely. And look, there's a lot of anxiety and depression going around, which also impacts how that person sees themselves. So, it's a very interesting profession to be in. And I feel very honored and privileged to be the person that someone comes to that allows me to better support them.
Yep.
And both, you know, physically, and emotionally, and mentally.
Absolutely. I love that because it does go much deeper than just, it's much deeper than skin. It's much, much more than skin deep.
Absolutely. You know? If they've got a positive outlook, it will just project onto their face as well.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Yeah. And so if people want to choose a salon for them or a therapist for them, what's some advice you would give them how to do that?
Look, for me, it's do your research is the big thing. Look, we've got the privilege of having reviews on websites and all that. But most of all, use your instincts and maybe go for someone that refers you somewhere. Yep. But then saying that, what works for them may not work for you as well. So, and the biggest thing is you get what you pay for. You know, like at the end of the day, even if someone is charging you a minimal amount for a service, they're still going to make a profit because they've still got rents and things to pay.
That's right.
But they'll be compromising somewhere. So, and don't be afraid to ask questions. Ask the questions, the qualifications of the therapist, and ask a lot of questions. And they should be doing a thorough consultation every single time they come and visit you, even if they've known you for years. Because day by day, things can change. You could be on medication. Things could change for you.
Could be a more stressful period, you know, that's causing your skin to do different things or whatever else. You might not feel as good.
Everyone's so highly medicated nowadays, so they could have been on antibiotics. So you could be on a medication that has got a contraindication and they're about to do a service on you that can actually cause a negative outcome.
Oh, my God, you really got to know what you're doing.
100%. Especially with all the actives now that's in the products. Yeah, right. 100%.
That's actually a good point. I mean, do you try and use pure natural organic stuff where you can, or do you have to sometimes use some of the more synthetic, chemically based products?
So I actually use a brand that is natural, but it has a delivery system. A lot of people go organic, it's the way to go. But if you can't get the ingredients into the factory, as I call it, then it's a little bit like having Coles deliver your groceries and leaving it on the nature strip, but the family inside is still hungry.
Can't get it in the house. Yeah.
You can't get it in the house. We get it in the house. Yeah. So, ours in the house. Yeah. So, I look for something that has got a good delivery system, and I have found the brand that has done it for me.
Yep.
And it gives me the most phenomenal results. So yeah, I'm sticking to it. I've been with them for 10 years and there's no way of me changing.
That's fantastic. Well done. Now, I want to have a little chat about the other side of what you do, which is really the training and the teaching and the mentoring. I mean, how does that work? How have you been mentoring and training people over the years?
So I'm very, very big on education, and I've been privileged to go into other people's salons, including hair. And it's not only based on the hair and beauty industry, it's any kind of business. Yeah. Because I think if you've got someone coming in with fresh eyes, sometimes you're too close to the canvas to see the beautiful picture. Yeah. So what it allows me to do is to go in and do a full analysis on the business, on the staffing, on their procedures and their policies. But it's mainly about customer service focus. We've got amazing people that are marketing people that can drive business into your business. But what are you doing as a business owner to keep these people? I've got people that have been my clients since 2001.
Yeah.
And I had another salon and they've followed me from place to place. Yeah,
because they like you, they trust you. Yep.
It's a trust, but it's also about building a culture in the business as well. You don't want to have animosity amongst your staff. Like, I'll give you an example. I had a beautiful, one of my gorgeous girls started 3 weeks before COVID shut down. I couldn't even help her with JobKeeper, but throughout the 10 weeks, she goes to me, let me help you with social media. I said, I'll pay you something. She goes, no, I don't care. I'm just happy to do that for you because I'm grateful to be here.
She just wanted to be in your world.
Exactly. So that's the kind of culture. If you've got that within your business, then you've got something positive happening, and your clients or your customers pick that up.
Yep.
They feel it.
Yep. So you work with salon owners to help them build that culture and identify that culture?
Correct. And also anyone that's new wanting to open up a salon, like even just opening is quite daunting. Where I do it with my eyes shut, I find it quite easy. And they need a little bit of a guidance and a budget and things to look at. And also with existing owners, if you've been there for some time, sometimes it takes another business owner to go, hey, have you thought of this? Maybe you need to relook at this. Maybe you need to revamp that.
The refresh every now and again. Refresh. A bit of a facelift.
Yeah, a refresh reset. Yeah, absolutely. I even get it done. I get the girls to do it to me.
Yep.
I do, because I need it as well.
Yeah, okay. Awesome. And so, I mean, what would be your advice to new salon owners or people that are looking to start salons? So how to start going about that process? What should they look out for? What should they think about and plan before they, jump in?
Get yourself a coach.
Right. Wow.
First up. So if you can afford it, get yourself a coach. The other thing is also be very, very aware of what is your outcome? What's your end goal? How are you going to set yourself up? Are you going to be a nail clinic? Because look, our industry is a little bit segregated. You have got your nail people. You have got your beauty people that just do the...
You got your waxing, your laser. Yeah,
exactly. Laser. Are you going to be just a laser service? Are you going to be just skin service? What is the area that you're wanting to open? Mm-hmm. And what are your people? What is the... Look, you can access all of that information.
Yep.
What's the demographics? What's the wages like? You may be in an area where there's a high level of unemployed, but you want to give them a service that's going to cost them, $500 a hit.
Premium service, exclusive service.
Exactly. So know your market is the biggest one. And then look at your budget, do a business plan and a budgeting and a spreadsheet and have a look at your cash flow and what your expenses are going to be.
And do like these different specialities work together ever? Like even though you might not be in a particular premises together, do you kind of refer each other a lot, or do you kind of work together in some way, or is it that doesn't really happen?
Look, sadly enough, they don't. But for example, in my clinic, I don't offer laser services because five doors down the road there is a laser clinic, and I'm happy for them to do that because I predominantly do skin. But I also offer the beauty services as well, your relaxation, your body treatments, your massages, your hands, your feet, your tinting, your wax, all of that stuff. But I specialize in something that is more than just correct, it just making the skin look good. I actually correct it.
Yep, gotcha.
So that's my business model.
Yep.
And that's why I said it's very important in the very beginning to know what it is that you want to be known for. Yeah. And I'm known for skin and acne.
I think that's a really good point. Like, it's really good to have a speciality, but also, as I'm hearing, you know, while you talk, is the potential cost of technology is incredible. So you can't do everything because you'll be buying millions of dollars worth of equipment. You can't. And like a laser specialist has already God knows how many millions of dollars of laser equipment. You can't go and add that to everything else. You go broke.
And that's the thing, because when the market is saturated by a particular machinery or technology, there needs a price war happening.
Yep.
And it's the fastest person down to the bottom. Look, honestly, I'm the most expensive in my area, but I'm the most busiest.
Yep.
Because we trust you. Yeah, it's got to come down to the trust.
Yep.
It's all about trust.
Wow. And so how many salons have you had over the years?
A few, but I've successfully sold them.
Right.
And I've then with my career, I had one salon, I sold it, and that was predominantly a nail and beauty salon.
Okay.
And then I did my paramedical aesthetics and ended up working with a doctor.
Right.
And that was amazing because it was a whole new world there. And I then learnt laser, and then I opened up Heavenly Retreat. So Heavenly Retreat's been around for about 10 years now. But even then, I've done my degree, I've done other education, I've written the book. So, and the world is my oyster.
Fantastic. You're a busy lady.
I love it. Fill me up and I love it. I've always got time for someone. Yeah.
Fantastic.
And I just would love to more so work with other salon owners to give them what I've got.
Yep. You know, to learn all the insights that you've gathered over the years of buying and selling and setting up new premises and different specialities and different locations. And my God, you know, there'd be a lot of information that you could help.
Yeah.
And what about, do you think, is there a difference between the psychology of beauty in different cultures and different countries? Or, you know, I suppose that's it's a broad question, but I'm just thinking out loud.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I've got a multi cultural base, clientele base in my salon. I have my ladies that are covered with a hijab, and they are adorable. And of course, they have their religious times, like with their Ramadan. Yep. I have the Greek ladies, I have the Lebanese ladies, I have the Yugoslav ladies, I have my Australian born ladies, as in the Anglo-Saxon ladies. So I have my Asian ladies as well. Yep. So when I treat them, I treat according to their culture, their skin, and what they can and can't have, religious reasons, skin reasons,
different culture, different customs, different, you know, what's considered beautiful in one culture might not be considered beautiful in another.
Absolutely. And I think that's what makes my day, working day, so exciting, because I have been exposed to so many different cultures and ladies and men . It's amazing.
Wow. So no one day, no one patient is ever the same.
No, not at all. Oh, no. It'd be so exciting then.
And tell us about your book. So what's your book about?
Okay. So I found a very big need in the, look, I based it on my industry, but as I said, anybody could pick this book up and take the backdrop of the beauty industry and incorporate it into their own business.
Yeah.
I think we've lost the culture of customer service. You hear it all the time. Oh, I went into this shop and nobody was there and they're standing there talking.
Singing my song now. I totally agree with you.
Yeah, very much so. And like I said, we have amazing people that are real major marketers. I'm not a marketer. I'm telling you now. But I do know my customer service and how to make someone feel valued. So I want people to step into our customer's shoes and be the customer. Have a look the next time you go out into a store and you just want to ask a question. It could be anywhere you go.
Yep.
Are you being served properly? I mean, I remember the days when, you know, they used to pump out our gas. We have to do it ourselves now.
That's right.
Yeah. So in my book, there's 12 chapters, and it's going through. It's a fun little book. It's got a cute little caricature of me, and it's done with the Hollywood names on it. So the diva's my favorite, which is our customer complaints. Nobody wants to be complained to, but look, I say bring it on, because if that person is complaining, they want to be with you. So listen.
I like that. That is so interesting. That is so true. Otherwise, they just disappear and never come back and you wouldn't hear about it.
100%. And then you spend so many hundreds of dollars trying to market that person to try to get them back. Whereas if you just listened to them in the first place, they wouldn't have gone.
And then you would have converted them to a loyal advocate and they would have told everybody else and you'd triple your business.
101%. Costs more to get a customer in than to keep one.
Yep, I totally agree with you. So you go through loads of different steps and insights into how to give better customer service.
Absolutely. So I think in order to give good customer service, you've got to have your foundations in place.
Yep.
So what this does is basically put your foundations in place. It gets you to question why you're in business in the first place.
Yep.
What kind of staff are you getting? I call them the top shelf staff.
Yep.
Have you got systems and policies in place? Can you successfully duplicate your business should you want to?
Yep.
And what happens, and my favorite is the after party. The after party is when you decide that you want to step back from your business and get a life, or you want to sell your business.
Yep,
Can you successfully sell that business and have everything in line? My girls have been with me for 7 years.
Wow, that's fantastic. These days, that's like a life sentence.
It's unheard of.
Doesn't happen.
It's unheard of.
It doesn't happen.
And I was able to go to Greece last year for a whole month, and my business not only stood on its feet, but it was amazing. Like, wow. I said to the girls, I should go more often.
Exactly. I'm not coming back. Let's go another month.
Yeah, see you guys. Exactly.
Wow. I mean, that sounds like a fascinating book, and the way you've written it and made it a lot fun, and, you know, with the Hollywood references as well. Where can I get a book like that?
So on my website, which is helengerasimo.com.au, there's a little landing page where you can access the book, and I'll sign it and leave you a little message and send it out to you.
Fantastic.
But it's got a lot of lighthearted, fun stories that I have personally experienced as a customer. Uh-huh. And at the back of every chapter, there's a little questionnaire, as in exercises that you can look at and go, okay, maybe I do need to look at this.
Love it.
So it gives you a few little prompts to have a look in your own business. And as I said, it doesn't have to be in the beauty. It's like the beauty is just the backdrop. You can implement everything.
And that's actually a really good point, because a lot of the time, like, I get some of the best inspiration from totally different industries.
Mm.
Because you think of things in a different way. You look at different ways that people do things, different angles, different perspectives. And you think, oh, how can I apply that to my industry?
And exactly.
That's more powerful. Just reading about, you know, everybody else that does the same thing as you.
And you're right, it is a different perspective. And look, let's face it, the hair and beauty industry, we are a predominantly service industry.
Definitely.
We are about service. And these people are entrusting us with their asset, which is their skin, it's their face.
That's right.
It's their
huge.
Image. It's massive.
That's
so
huge.
If we can give them that amazing customer service, imagine what you could do in your own business.
That's right. And you have clients that once they start with you, they're there for life. They come to you forever. And then they bring their kids and their grandkids and whatever else.
I've had the joy of seeing that journey. Yeah, it's been amazing.
Oh, Lord, that's insane.
Yeah, it's been amazing. And then you wonder why I'm so in love with my industry. Yeah,
that's
of course
right.
I am.
Wow, how fascinating. So, Helen, that's been absolutely amazing. You know, you've really given us a great insight into the beauty industry, how it's changed, technology, behavior, and, you know, just the full life cycle of how you give the customer service and what advice you'd give for other people as well in the industry, getting into the industry. But I always like to ask my guests to leave us with one or two tips at the end, just two little things that you think people can really take right now and use in their life that'll make them feel good, look good, without even doing too much.
Okay. So just one tip for any business owners out there. I'd like you guys to grab $100 in your hot little hands, stand out the front of your business and work out why you would walk in there and spend that money and what you expect. So put your feet in the customer's position. And if you're not prepared to spend that hard-earned $100 that you're going to put on the gas bill, then you've got to do some serious looking in your business. Wow. That's your first one.
Fantastic. That's great.
And it works all the time. It's amazing. And look, when it comes to beauty tips, make sure you clean and nourish your skin twice a day. We don't eat only once a day. Your skin needs to eat twice a day. It's a 24-hour working factory.
I like that.
You don't put the raw materials into your highly experienced cells, then you're going to get the outcome that you're not going to like. So something basic like clean and nourish your skin night and day, and make sure you go to bed with a clean skin.
That is so cool. Two amazing tips. Take a $100 bill, stand outside your premises and think about why you're actually going to walk in. What's the purpose? And second tip, I love that. We eat more than once a day, so why shouldn't we look after our skin more than once a day? How simple. I love it. Great insight, Helen. So just for everybody out there, if they want to come and see you or find you, what's the best way to do that?
They can email us on info@heavenlyretreat.net.au. They can call us on 95299555, or just rock up.
Just rock up. No appointment needed.
Yeah, you do need an appointment. But I'll still say hello and welcome you and book an appointment. And if I can see you straight away, of course, I'll look up.
You'll give them a coffee and then we'll say, I'll be with you after.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
No problem. So I'll put the links and the address and everything in the show notes for everybody out there.
Wonderful.
And obviously your website was helengerasimo.com.
.au for the book. And the Heavenly Retreat one is heavenlyretreat.net.au.
Fantastic. Well, Helen, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show today. And I hope you had fun, because I certainly did.
Oh, it's amazing. Thank you. It was so much fun. And
all the audience out there, you know, hopefully Helen's given you some fascinating insights, because she's given me so much in terms of beauty, business, all sorts of ideas. So I'll definitely be re-listening to this podcast a few times. So everybody out there, have a great day, and we'll see you probably tomorrow for another great episode of Playing with Perspective. Bye for now.